Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma لا نحصي عليك ثناء أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم اللهم صلي على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم ربنا زدنا علما اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. Discourse number 17 sitting. Do not neglect deeds for the sake of other creatures. Being arrogant to Allah. How can a person be arrogant to Allah? In one of his sayings, Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, when a man puffs up in arrogance beyond limits, he begins to show that to Allah too. One example is his dua. He may have been doing that with humility, his humbleness writ large on his face, but when someone comes there, his expression undergoes a complete change so that he might not seem disgraced in the sight of the looker. This is being arrogant with Allah. He finds it disgraceful to show humility to Allah in the presence of other people. And to neglect an act of worship for them is to show arrogance and fasi isa. Mufti Saab, Mufti Taqi Usmani Damod Barakatum comments. Arrogant behavior, as it is with people, is bad. That alone is bad. But its worst form is to show arrogance to Allah. For instance, a man weeps or assumes the condition of one who weeps while making dua before Allah, supplicating Allah. He displays his helplessness before Allah, and this deed is commendable. However, he feels insulted and below his dignity to do the same thing while other people watch him. That means that he feels ignominious to show his helplessness before Allah. Giving up deeds for people's sake. The Maulana has concluded the saying with the words, to neglect an act of worship for other people is to show arrogance. Just as doing something for them is ostentatious and it's just to show off. Doing something for them is ostentatious conduct, bordering on shirk and association with Allah. So too, neglecting a deed for them is also disallowed. It will be either ostentatious or arrogance. An example. For instance, at the appointed time of Salat, you find yourself among a people who do not offer Salat. Now, if you feel ashamed to offer Salat because they might pass an adverse remark, then you are neglecting a deed for the sake of fellow creatures. We come across this situation often these days. In the aeroplane, passengers seem to imagine that they are excused from observing Salat in the aeroplane. They do not get up for it because the rest are sitting down and they do not like to engage in Salat while others watch them. They forget that Salat is a form of expression of humility and submission before Allah, and by neglecting it at that time, they refuse to submit to Allah in the presence of fellow men, lest they fall in grace. This is an example of showing arrogance to Allah. Do not neglect Salat at such times. Mufti Taqi, Damat Barakatum says, I often visit non-Muslim countries. I have observed that there that Muslims feel shy to observe Salat in the presence of non-Muslims. They do not wish to make a demonstration of themselves and be ridiculed, and they imagine that their humility in Salat will be considered as their meekness. This really is being proud before Allah. Of course, there are places where if people offer Salat, they attract a crowd who look at them in amazement. Salat at the airport of Andalus. Muslims are now found all over the world, and Salat is not much of an unusual thing anymore. In fact, I have had an opportunity of offering Salat at such places where not even a single Muslim could be found. But I was most taken aback at Andalus. This is a place where Muslims ruled for 800 years in Spain. 800 years, during which time its atmosphere resounded with the words of the Adhan. When I alighted at the airport, it was time for Salah. My friend and I looked for a corner to offer Salat. We began our Salah there. It was not a very conspicuous place, being behind a wall, but nowhere had I found Salat as strange for anyone as I did for the people there. First, a couple of men stood to watch us. Then they brought others to see what we did, and soon there was a crowd of people. What amazed me is that though I had offered Salat in America and many European countries, in all of which there are disbelievers, yet Salat was not such an unusual thing as it was at Andalus, Spain, ruled by Muslims for 800 years. So, if anyone were to neglect Salat only because people would find it amazing or that would seem ignominious, then he is doing a wrong thing. He is being haughty before Allah. Salat may be delayed sometimes. Sometimes Salat may be postponed. If offering Salat might present Islam in a wrong way, postpone it. Say, if a passenger in a train or aeroplane does not find enough space to observe all postures of Salat unless he asks someone else to make room for him, then he will cause inconvenience to that person. In this case, he is doing the right thing if he puts off Salat for some time. If he were to cause inconvenience to someone and offer Salat, that would present a poor picture of Islam. Other people would imagine that Islam allows its adherents to cause inconvenience to them. The other extreme. At one extreme are people who do not offer Salat in public, lest they become centers of observation. Their behavior is arrogant before Allah. At the other extreme are people who are borne out by this example that follows. We were traveling in a small plane when it was time for prayers. Since our journey was short, we could have discharged our obligation comfortably at the destination. But some of my friends insisted that they would offer Salat in the aeroplane. They would perform wudu, call out the Adhan, and hold the congregational Salah. The crew told them that there were not proper facilities to do that, but they were adamant. Two people went to the washroom and performed wudu in such a way that the place was full of water. Although one should be careful that they do not put the next man to difficulty because of water. The Adhan was then called out, and they prepared for the Jamaat congregation. Passengers moved about, and amidst them they arranged their row and began the Salat. The crew were Muslims, so they accommodated these people but wondered at their behavior. What was wrong if they had waited for an hour to reach the destination and offered Salat peacefully? But they created a scene. The washroom was a mess, and everyone who visited it spoke ill of these people. Muslims, they spoke ill of them. They obstructed people's passage. I tried to explain to them that they could wait for the plane to land as I was waiting. But they at the other extreme paid no heed to my advice. Ablution and wudu in a plane. Without realizing it, we cross over to this other extreme. The crew of the plane always disallow passengers to perform wudu in the plane if they learn of their intention, because the washroom is rendered unusable by those who make wudu there. I often travel by air and do have need to perform wudu, but I am careful to leave the washroom neat without a drop of water on the floor and untidiness in the wash basin. It is not difficult to observe cleanliness. There are towels in the washroom and tissue papers too. One can clean the surface and the basin with them. But our attitude is that we have performed wudu for Allah's sake and our farz is over. Double sin. If we leave behind a dirty place, then we commit the sin of causing inconvenience to other people. We also then commit the sin of driving people away from Islam. Double sin, inconvenience and driving people away from Islam and driving them from the symbols of Islam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, Bashiru, give people, he said, Yassiru, make things easy. Said the Prophet alayhi salam, Yassiru, make things easy. Wala tuassiru, and don't make things hard. Wa abshiru, and give glad tidings to people, encourage them. Wala tunaffiru, and don't run them away and repel them. Said Nabi alayhi salam, Yassiru, make things easy. Wala tuassiru, and don't make things hard. Wa abshiru, and give people glad tidings, encourage them. Wala tunaffiru, and don't run them away. Today we do not consider these things as part of our deen and religion. It is difficult to go into the toilets of our own masajid. Is it because pious people and scholars live there? Or the Sufis stay here? Do they have nothing to do with cleanliness? They do not ever bother to think that it is a sin and something disallowed, a grave sin. Once I came out of our washroom without cleaning it, Mufti Saab is saying when he was small, I came out of our washroom without cleaning it. When my respected father, Mufti Shafi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, learnt of it, he summoned me and asked, do you think that it is an insignificant lapse and something small? It is one of the kabira. It is one of the kabira, the kabair. It is one of the great sins. Don't do this. Mufti Taqi says, why non-Muslims progress? The kufr, the disbelief of the infidels and polytheists is detestable, la rayba fi. But they have adopted certain things that belong to us. And because of that, Allah has raised them in this world and caused them to progress. My revered father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say that falsehood cannot bloom. Allah says, إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Surely falsehood is ever certain to vanish. But if you see that it prospers and gains honor, then know that it has something good, truthful with it. This is why it blooms, otherwise it would vanish. So whenever you see kufr, falsehood, blooming and prospering and gaining honor, then know that it has something good, truthful with it. This is why it blooms, otherwise it would vanish. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Thus, the developed countries of the world have not achieved prosperity because of their kufr and disbelief, understand that. Rather, they have done some good things, like labor. They know how to work. Labor, trustworthiness, truthfulness, fair dealings, and so on. These are teachings of Islam. So Allah has rewarded them in this world. But of course, they have no share in the akhirat. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْأَكِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. A lesson-given event. In Britain, I was traveling by train from Birmingham to Edinburgh, a 5 hours journey. During the journey, I had to go to the toilet, but when I went there, it displayed the sign, occupied. The same thing happened a while later. On my third trip to the toilet, I saw the sign unoccupied, but a woman waited outside to go in. When I pointed out to her that the toilet was unoccupied and she might use it first, she said that she knew that and she had just used it. She had just used it then. But as she was about to flush it, the train stopped and it was disallowed to use the flush when the train was stationary. She waited for the train to resume the journey so she might flush the toilet and return to her seat. Our attitude. I recall my father's teachings. He had told us never to leave the toilet without flushing it. Never to leave the toilet without flushing it afterwards. Otherwise, it was a grave sin. Other people are inconvenienced if we do not do that. Besides, the woman was careful not to use the flush at a station where the train had stopped. Will we do that? There are clear instructions in the toilet that it should not be used when the train has stopped. Clearly, that would spread filth on a station and cause difficulty to passengers and those at the station. One deed, many sins. On top of it, people do not realize that they commit a sin if they are offenders in the above way. In fact, this offense carries many sins with it. They cause inconvenience by spreading filth on thoroughfares, turuk. Secondly, they violate the terms on which they are given the carriage on rent. Right of Allah's slaves violated. Both these offenses are violations of rights of fellow men. They will be very many people. So how will you trace them out to seek pardon? Hence, this sin is grave, but they do not realize that they have committed sin. We are at the other extreme, and it is necessary to worry about it. May Allah guide us. Toilets in mosques, in the masajid. Islam is a religion of elegance, purity, and cleanliness. But we observe the converse. Even in Britain, where public toilets abound and you find them neat and tidy, whether in parks and gardens or offices, the toilets in mosques are very dirty and have a driving away condition. Of course, there are a few mosques that are very well built and they keep their toilets clean and speckless, but most are simply unpresentable. There are about 300 mosques, masajid, in London. There are about 300 masajid in London itself, though there was a time when one could not find a suitable place to pray. But these mosques, masajid, are not clean. The dirtiest places in London are the toilets of the masajid. Unfortunately so. The dirtiest places in London are the toilets of the masajid. We give a wrong impression of Islam in this way. The example of a European Muslim, My respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to narrate the account of a Britisher who embraced Islam in Delhi's Jamia Masjid. After becoming a Muslim, he came to the Masjid to offer Salat. This is the Delhi's Jamia Masjid. He observed that the drainage pipe of the place of wudu was very dirty. The drainage pipe of the place of wudu was very dirty. When no one cleaned it for a few days, he came one day armed with a broom and poured water and began to clean it. Someone saw him and remarked, "The Britisher has become a Muslim but has not forgotten his British habits." Perhaps he meant that cleanliness was a British characteristic. The attitude that we observe and keep ourselves dirty is not only not proper, but also we present through it a very bad picture of Islam. Instead of coming towards it, people are driven away from it. So we must pay more attention to cleanliness so that we do not represent Islam in a wrong way. So on one side, there is arrogance that we display to Allah. On one side, we cause inconvenience to people and go to another extreme and cause inconvenience. And under the topic of inconvenience came the toilets and our way and our dirtiness. May Allah enable us to follow the right course. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see? Who I am, just let me be.